So why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about sort of your impressions. How'd the unit go?
I think that the unit went well. I saw evidence that the students mastered a lot of the skills that I was teaching. One of the main focus points for me was teaching them how to analyze using critical lenses, and they were really good at that. They were able to talk a lot about the culture, the religion, and the politics that they saw in their novels. So that was sort of one of the main reading skills that I did see evidence of mastery.
And where did you see that evidence?
In their homework, in their discussion notes, in listening to the discussions, and then in the projects that they did, because they had to touch on one of those specific critical lenses. I think that they, for the most part, did a good job of practicing the discussion skills that I was teaching. So I did, I think, 3 different mini lessons on a specific discussion skill. And just walking around the room and listening to students, putting into practice, for example, the take it back to the text technique or the asking follow-up questions. So I did hear students using those techniques.
Have they had any chances to continue to use those since then?
Well, we haven't done lit circles since then, but we have had more discussions. And the charts are still in the room, the posters are still in the room. So I have heard them continue to use that skill in later discussions.
Take it back to the text. And were any of the discussion skills that they didn't really pick up in the way that you'd wanted, or that?
No, I mean, the specific ones that I taught, I did see evidence of. That doesn't mean their discussions can't get better. They can always get better. And I think one challenge of having lit circles is I feel like I can support the discussion skills really well, but it's harder to support just the actual quality of the ideas being discussed, since each group is discussing a different novel. Whereas if we were doing a class novel, it would be more realistic to do mini lessons on some of the actual themes, symbols, character development, things like that, which creates richer conversations.
And you've done that in the past?
Yes, we have done whole class novels before. Well, we've done it twice.
And then you do mini lessons that are related to the content and the symbols. And
yeah, so we'll talk about what a tragic flaw is, and that'll be the mini lesson. And then when they have their discussion, then they're talking about what the tragic flaw is for Antigone and for Creon in the play Antigone. So then the ideas are better and richer.
Do you feel like you lost something in terms of the richness of the discussion, of the quality of the discussions, of the content of the books?
Yes. And I think I kind of think that's the nature of lit circles a little bit. You kind of have to let it go. You have to let the literature go just a little bit. So I did try my best to talk to each group, and sit in on their conversation and sort of ask some guiding questions to sort of steer them to what I wanted them to uncover in the book. But like, for example, with my Habibi group, the friendship between the two kids in the book is, they're able to be friends despite being from different cultures and backgrounds and whatnot. And the group did not really make the link that was kind of like a metaphor for sort of peace and just sort of relations in Israel. They weren't really able to make that link, and I think I kept wanting them to, and that's something that I think they needed a little bit more support on. And then in the kite runner group, the highest group, they loved the book and were talking, they could talk at length about the different characters and what was going on in the book. But again, what I didn't see them do enough of was to take it a little bit deeper and talk about how the power relationships between the characters and all that deeper literary stuff that it was just hard for me to support them in that way, just because I had so many, I just had a lot going on in the class.
And with the Habibi group and perhaps with the kite runner groups, what kinds of things did you do to try and get them to those deeper levels?
Well, when I sat in on their conversations and realized that they were just kind of talking on the surface too much, I tried to ask questions that were deeper, that were more under the surface, to get them thinking, sort of to push their thinking in the direction that I wanted it to go. What I would do differently with, in regards to this specific issue, is I think I would I would give students specific discussion questions, maybe three of my own discussion questions for each Lit Circle meeting, and have them come up with three of their own as well. So that I'm not completely trusting them to pull everything out of the text mm-hmm. that I want them to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I needed to take a little. I needed to be a little bit more responsible for them.
Mm-hmm. But you've done these Lit Circles in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Is this? So did this issue come more to the forefront this time, or has it just always been there? I mean, so was it more problematic this time than you had anticipated?
It was more problematic than I had anticipated, yes. Yeah, it was. I'm trying to think the times that I've done Lit Circles. The most recent time that I did Lit Circles, last year, we were doing Lit Circles, but everyone was reading the same novel. It was in an AP class. So they were like running their own discussions and in charge of everything themselves, but it was a whole class novel. So if I needed to, I could say, oh, time out, we need to discuss this whole thing that like has gone over everybody's head.
But so then you were using, but the Lit Circles were being used to further the discussion, not to differentiate.
Not to differentiate, that's right.
So have you ever used Lit Circles to differentiate?
Yes, 2 years ago, and once last year. And yeah, I mean, I do think it's, I think it's a problem. I think it's just, it feels like you're juggling so much because, you know, you have to be bouncing around from group to group, trying to support students in understanding and uncovering everything that you want them to from the
mm-hmm.
text.
Mm-hmm.
And just when there's more novels, you know, it's just more complex.
And, I mean, do you think that issue affected some of the groups more than others? I mean, were the Kite Runner group able to take it further on their own than the Havivi group, or?
You know, the group that I felt like, the groups just in general in both classes that I felt like did the best job was were the Princess groups, but I think that novel was a little bit more straightforward. They just really got it. The Kite Runner group, if I just asked them some deeper questions, they could run with that, and that could get the conversation going
mm-hmm.
and led them sort of in the direction I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
The Habibi groups, I would have liked to have just had more time to sit with them
mm-hmm.
and sort of just ask more and more questions so that I could get them where I wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, in both classes, that the Habibi group, they're the least sophisticated readers. They're mm-hmm. the readers that need the most support. So, if I could have, you know, just been there more for them, I think they would have benefited from that.
Mm-hmm. And I know, at least in the days that we were, there were kids that were absent from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there were more kids who were absent from some groups rather than others. I mean, did that affect the quality of the discussion?
Absolutely.
And so who were the groups that were?
Well, and in fact, two of the groups I had to sort of merge together. Two of the Princess groups I merged together into one just big group. I'm not sure if it was, I don't think it was the group you were filming.
It was
Princess
the other
group.
Class that you had, yeah.
Yeah. Just because they had so many kids who were absent so often that every day we were doing Lit Circles, there was only like two kids in their group. So finally I had to just, you know, can't win here. Mm-hmm. Just need to combine them.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely affects the quality if you have one student absent and there's only four people in the group.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have two students absent, I mean, it's killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I mean, I haven't really thought about this, but I don't know if it's the lower group has more absences.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure. Mm-hmm. It did seem like there were absences in that group, though.
Yeah. And so what about other things that went well in terms of the overall unit, or other things that you surprised you about what went on?
Other things that went well. Well, I thought that they did a good job with their projects for the most part. The skills that I was looking for in that project were identifying perspective and bias, and every single group could do that. The other skills I was looking at were being able to compare and contrast, using one of the critical lenses, their novel to a different conflict somewhere else in the world. And they were all able to compare and contrast. Then the other skill was pattern detecting patterns. And for the most part, I would say like 5 out of the 6 groups were able to do that. So I saw evidence of all the skills. The one thing I was a little bit there were really 2 things I was a little dissatisfied with in the projects, and I blame myself pretty much for them. They didn't go as in-depth as I wanted them to with their with what they were comparing their novel to. But I think that was a factor of, you know, every single group picked something different, and they brought all their own research, and it wasn't something I had a lot of control that I chose to take a lot of control over, and so I kind of got like a superficial explanation of some of these other conflicts that they were comparing them to. And then what was the other thing? And the same thing with the pattern detecting, like sort of these very general patterns that they were coming up with. It just wasn't as in-depth or as thoroughly explained, I guess, as I would have ideally liked. The other thing that I didn't think was so great in the projects was, but it was totally my fault, they didn't in their projects necessarily show evidence that they had read the entire novel and understood everything in the entire novel. It was like the project took that for granted, and then they had to apply that understanding to this compare, contrast, and pattern detecting task. You know, I have evidence from just listening into their conversations and their homework and stuff like that, whether or not they read the whole novel and understood it. But if I were to do the project again, I think I would need to build into it more explicit assessment of, did they read the whole thing? Did they understand it? And then how can I use this information?
So are you suggesting that the problem, that there's a dual problem there? One is they didn't get the scaffolding, and the other is you don't have the assessment to fall back on.
Right. So I think the scaffolding, they needed a little more scaffolding for the compare contrast. Like, they need a little bit more help finding good resources and understanding those resources. And then what I think would have solved the other problem was just actually sort of tweaking the assessment itself.
Mm-hmm. And how would you do that? Have you thought about that? Do you have to introduce a whole other assignment? Because there's a lot to the project already, right?
Yeah. No, I don't. I think if I had just one thing I did was, during one of the days that they were working on it, was I put a list on the board of all the slides that I would be looking for, and I just didn't put a slide that said, explain the main conflict in your book and how it's resolved. If I just added that slide, mm-hmm. and required the groups to explain to us what happens at the end of Kite Runner, then I think that there would be evidence of that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it would be like major tweaking. Mm-hmm. But like in the Kite Runner group, in some of the groups, you know, they were able to do the project only focusing on, say, you know, a conflict that happened 2/3 of the way into the book, and sort of like didn't even mention what happens when the main character moves to the United States with his dad when he immigrates. Mm-hmm. It's kind of problematic.
Right, although part of what you're saying is, but from a teacher's perspective, it's hard to hold them responsible for that.
Right.
If you didn't make it explicit.
Right.
That they needed to go further.
Right.
That's challenge. So, but I mean, but that brings us back to, I mean, you've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
You've learned from what's happened in the past. I mean, how did these problems not come up in the past, or?
You know, I haven't done a final assessment just like this. So that's, you know, I just created this when I was creating this unit. So I think I just didn't anticipate that they would be able to do the assessment without addressing all, you know, the full range of what happened in the novel. In other Lit Circle units, there's just been totally different assessments, like an in-class essay or some sort of different project based on, you know, whatever the literary thing, like if we had talked about theme, they have to explain the theme and support it with all this, you know, they have to talk about pretty mm-hmm. much everything that happened in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think I just didn't anticipate that they wouldn't need to do that in order to do well on the project.
I mean, are there ways you feel like your ability to use these Lit Circles has gotten better, or things that you've talked about some of the problems that cropped up this time, but are there problems along the way that this solved, or that you know, things that you had trouble with before that you didn't have as much trouble with this time?
Yes, I mean, you know, the first time I did Lit Circles, I hadn't quite figured out how to hold kids accountable to their reading. Another problem with Lit Circles sometimes is, how do you make sure everyone has something to say, something to contribute? What do you do if somebody is just not going to do any of the reading? How do you scaffold homework or like some sort of guided reading assignment so that they come to the Lit Circles with stuff to talk about? So I think, you know, I figured out a lot of that stuff, and so there was a lot of support for kids to take notes while they're reading and write questions ahead of time so that when they get to the Lit Circle, they know what they are supposed to be talking about and they have things to say. I think one thing, and I really think the value of Lit Circles is that students are interacting with literature at the level, ideally, sort of at the level that is right for them. So mm-hmm. just a little bit above their what's easy and comfortable for them. So it's just like it's a challenge that's right for them,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. I mean, that you're meeting every student's needs, mm-hmm. ideally. I think that the learning curve here was that I needed to support my groups a little bit more in leading them to uncover some of the meatier stuff in these books
mm-hmm.
That I was kind of counting on them to be able to do
mm-hmm.
themselves, and I shouldn't have.
But in terms of, you know, making sure that students were actually doing the work, so what kinds of things, I mean, you talked about the questions, the guiding questions, things like that, but how did you help to hold them accountable?
So one thing we did at the very beginning, the first day, was students in their groups came up with a list of expectations for the group members. So they needed, I gave them examples, but they needed a minimum of 3, you know, 3 to 5, whatever, kind of like rules for their group.
Right.
And those were taped onto their groups folder. And so those were things like, we all need to come prepared having done the reading. We need to be nice to each other. We all need to have done our homework
mm-hmm.
before we come to the Lit Circle meeting. So I think that helped. It's the first time I've done something like that. I think that definitely helped. And then, you know, my students actually care about their grade. So it's kind of nice for me. I collected their homework after each Lit Circle meetings. So, you know, each group had a folder, and inside the I had a big folder. Inside the folder, there were two smaller folders. One was labeled notes, and one was labeled homework. So each time we had a Lit Circle meeting, I gave their group their folder. They took out their notes page from the notes folder. They used that to take all their notes on their discussion. And then at the end of the Lit Circle meeting, they put in their group notes in the notes folder, and they put in all their homework, and they turned it back in to me. So at the end of each Lit Circle meeting, I had all of their homework, and then I had the notes page that the note taker had taken during the group's notes. So I was able to read what they talked about and then see if they had been prepared. Mm-hmm. And I did take like daily, you know, homework grades on that. Mm-hmm. And they actually care about that, so.
And that's not something you've done in the past?
Not as organized.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think in the past I've just said, okay, you need to be reading your novel, and you need to be annotating in your novel, you need to be marking up the text, or using post-its or whatever, and you need to write down 3 discussion questions. But then there's nothing to collect. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to give them something to take notes on just for the sake of collecting something to show that they're accountable to their reading. Like, it needs to actually mm-hmm. be authentic and help, you know, fuel the discussion. So mm-hmm. I think that worked. I think that's something that worked.
And, I mean, you talked about the one group, which was in the other class, the way that you had to put them together. In terms of this class, the class that we were documenting, was there one group that struggled more than others? Or, I mean, you talked about both, you said princess groups in both classes were, you know, seemed to get it more than the others, but... in terms of the presentations or their work overall?
Yes. You know, all of these groups pretty much had an issue. They were all different issues, but like every group had an issue. So, like I said, I had 2 groups. It was in the class, it wasn't the group that you guys were filming, but it was the other princess group.
Oh, I see.
They had... So one group had kids who were absent all the time, and the other group, for whatever reason, they just didn't like being in a group together. And so I had one particular student who's just a strong personality. I can't work with this group. I'm like, great, okay. So like, let's work with this. So I ended up just joining those 2 groups together, and I think there were 7 people, which is pretty large. But at least, you know, it was 7 people that were at least talking to each other about the book, as opposed to 3 people refusing to discuss and sitting there mute. Then the kite runner groups, it was just so fascinating to me. One group just took off with it and went running, and they did a great job. And the other group had 2 students in it who decided that they didn't like the book. And if I had let them, would have spent 20 minutes of their lit circle discussion talking about why they thought the author was a really bad writer. And, you know, because they know what... Yeah, which is very frustrating. Like, well, can we leave opinions out of this for right now and, like, look at all these things that you missed while you were reading? It was like...
while you were reading the book.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Habibi group in this class was a challenge also, because in thinking who needs a little less challenging reading in order to really be able to practice these new skills, what I did was I chose students who just typically take longer to get through a book. And so originally that was going to be a group of 4. So that was, except I feel like I'm missing a kid. Yeah, so that was Gerald and Lauren and Kareem and Juan. Gerald, Lauren, no, not Juan. Gerald, Lauren, Giorgio, and Kareem. And then another student, Chris, who I had originally put in a different group. He's a little bit more advanced of a reader. He was in the princess group. His group that he was in could not handle him. He's very strong personality, again. And, that group wasn't going to get anything done. So, like, in the first 15 minutes of the first day, I was like, okay, this isn't going to work. So I put Chris in a group... I didn't want to move him into the higher reading level group because I thought he would be in over his head. So I put him in the Habibi group because two of the students in that group you know, he gets along with better, and they would sort of tolerate his strong personality. So, I mean, creating groups that are going to be together for like a, you know, more than 45 minutes is like you know you factor in their skills, you have to factor in their personalities, you have to factor in the fact that they're 14 and they everything is like incredibly dramatic to them, and so if they don't like somebody, you know, it's just
right.
You know.
And but so was it for, I mean, so he'd had to read a different book at that point. I mean, had he started reading the other book? I mean, was that?
No, it was on the first day. Oh, so like when they got their books, and you know, there was some like gigantic blow up, whatever.
And I mean, and the other thing is, you know, so you ended up with a Habibi group. It's four African American males. It looks very different in composition than the other groups. I mean, how do you think about these issues of race and, you know, how this, I mean, in a sense, it looks like a tracked group in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that factor into your thinking about it?
You know, it does, maybe it should more. So I don't think it was for, so it was Georgiou.
That was the day that we filmed was the, I think it was three or four.
I think it was, it would have been three. Yeah, it was probably three. I know three.
Well, maybe
for
there
sure.
were only three students in that group that day.
Oh, and they were all...
It could have been all, it was all male students of color, I think.
Okay. So, yeah. So that group was originally supposed to be two African-American males, one, and then two other students, another girl, and then another boy. So Chris was the other African-American male that was supposed to be in a different group that had to get moved into a group that he could work better with. I think it was more successful putting him in that group because he wasn't being totally silenced by his other group, and then the two other students who didn't see. I mean, my class is so diverse that it's not something that I'm not thinking about race or ethnicity when I'm creating groups necessarily. It only comes up rarely if it's more just their personalities, who are they absolutely not going to work well with, so it's not something that I think about. Mm-hmm. To be honest.
And how often do they end up, I mean, is that the first time that group has worked together in that way, or is
yes it is the first time that group has worked together in that way. So like I created those groups, you know, aside from reshuffling them, the original creation of the groups was based on all of my observations about their reading fluency, basically. Like, Kite Runner is a 500-page book. This unit is 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks. Which of my students are going to be able to actually finish this book in that amount of time? Princess is a book that's 300 pages, so a little bit longer. Who's going to be able to finish this book? And it's primarily, it's kind of a girly book. It's about women. Mm-hmm. That factored into it a little bit as well. Habibi was just a more straightforward story. Mm-hmm. So I thought, who needs a little bit simpler plot, I guess, in order to do all of the skills that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the school itself, I mean, are there AP classes? I mean, how does the...
No. So nothing is tracked in the school.
And when you're... So what other kinds of groups have you created in the classroom? Are they just a group for today, or...
So I do groups. I mean, we do groups every day, and it's always different how I arrange the groups. Most of the time, I want them in heterogeneous groups. So the way that their table groups, their normal seating arrangements, it's all mixed. It's mixed everything. Everything's mixed. A lot of times, just to get them working with new people. I'll have some method to it, but it's basically randomly putting them in groups, you know, some sort of alphabetical whatever thing. Or they'll all get up and every third person, you know, well, let's count around the room, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, whatever. Putting them in lots of different groups. I want them to be able to work with every, you know, ideally at the end of the year, I want them to be able to work with anybody that I put them with. Mm-hmm. Because that's just a life skill that they need. Reading groups haven't been the same, so they haven't been in specific reading groups, like long-term, three-week-long lit circle groups with those same people. So I definitely tried to mix those up, still keeping them kind of in these categories of what they could feasibly read in that amount of time. And then they also have writing partners. Those change every unit. But whenever we're working on a piece of writing, they're assigned a writing partner. And that writing partner will read their paper several times during that unit. And that I try and do based on writing ability. Mm-hmm. But that's always changing as well.
And how do you deal with the problem? I mean, do you have the problem with the students who feel like their writing is better, or they're the, you know, the higher end in terms of their writing? Do they feel like they can get any help from other students, or are they resistant to?
No, they're not that resistant. You mean if I put them with a student who's not as good of a writer,
right,
in quotes?
So how do you get, I mean, so one of the, with my students, that there's this concern that they don't really get peer help from students who aren't as advanced in terms of writing as they are.
I mean, I think that's always going to be there. It's never been a problem. Like, it hasn't created a conflict between students before. I have had one or two students this year come up to me at the end of class and say, would you mind reading my paper also, because I want to see what you think as well. Or my partner didn't find any places where I was unclear in my wording. Mm-hmm. Would you read it for me? And of course I would do that. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the, so you differentiated in terms of the, basically the length of the novel and the content. Mm-hmm. But were there other ways in which you've adjusted the assignments, or different kids end up getting different kinds of assignments? Or, I mean, it's again about the differentiation question.
Yeah.
I mean, what other ways have you kind of differentiated the curriculum, I guess,
sure,
in your approach?
The assessment wasn't differentiated in the sense that different, for this project, in the sense that different students got a different assessment. They all had the same assessment with the same rubrics, and I felt that it was differentiated in that they had a lot of choice in what they were comparing their conflict in their book to.
Mm-hmm.
Other times when I've differentiated, so primarily the way I differentiate, I guess, in this class is in different reading assignments. I do it a lot with the history as well. So if, like today, we're reading about dictatorships in South America, and different groups are reading about different dictatorships, some of the groups are reading a little bit more simplified text, mm-hmm, about the dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
But the project that they have to do with it on Monday, or they have to create these posters, we're going to have a gallery walk, etc., mm-hmm, is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, I guess times that I have differentiated a little bit the assessment, students had to do, they did independent reading with a partner earlier in the fall, I guess it was more like winter, and the assessment for that was an in-class essay. We had just done our essay unit, and they could choose from about 5 different questions. And I had said number 1 is the easiest, number 5 is the hardest, they get harder. Choose the one that you want to do. And some of them said, well, what if I challenge myself and I choose the hardest one, but my essay might not be as good as if I had chosen the first one. And I assured them that it would be, you know, that I was taking that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So But I do like to be really, like, transparent in when, you know, when I'm differentiating.
Mm-hmm.
So that they don't, and giving them that choice. So they don't feel like there's some group doing something secret, you know, over there on the other side of the classroom.
Right.
What are they doing? What are we doing? Why are we doing this and they're doing that? And, you know.
And do they, I mean, how do they respond to it? Do they ever express concerns that their skills aren't coming, you know, or that, you know, they're either too far advanced or not advanced enough? Is that something that's on their radar screen or not?
That's only happened with one student this year. And that student has told me, and I've talked to his parents a couple of times, has told me that he thinks that he's not being challenged enough. And so what I've done with that is, particularly in the history side, like, he knows all the history stuff, and he, like, legitimately does. He, you know, knows all about the foundations of Islam or whatever. So I've given him, like, an independent project for some of the history units where he's still in the classroom and he's participating in all the activities, but instead of taking the exam at the end, he's turning in a final research project that we've, you know, conferenced about, and I've given him some guidelines and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, because I don't want somebody to be bored in class. But other than that, it hasn't really come up, and I think that's just because differentiation is really, you know, across the board, something that the school encourages.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's something that they get in their classes a lot. For example, I know that this class, in their math class, each time they have an exam, they have two exam options. They can take the like standard exam, or they can take the challenge exam, and it's just harder math problems. And I think, like, the highest they can get on the standard one is at 90%, whereas the challenge one is out of 100. It might be out of 100, and then out of 110, like, they can get extra points, something like that. So that's, like, you know, they're used to that.
Part of what goes on.
Well, yeah.
And let's talk about it just in terms of some of the individual students. Were there students that you thought really got a lot out of this assignment, or, you know, maybe more than you expected, or just that really stood out?
You're asking specific students? So I thought that the group that you guys were filming that was discussing Princess seemed to really get into the story, and they were just outraged at how the women were treated, and I think that they were really hooked by sort of the juiciness of the story, which was great. Because some of those kids, you know, are typically bored by whatever they read, and I try really hard to give them things that they're going to like, especially during independent reading. Like, what can I read? This book is boring. You know, like, oh my God, I'm out of fun books for you to read. Like, so to see them get really excited about it was great. And I think that the Kite Runner group, that the students, I think the students were really engaged by the characters as well. And so, you know, they wanted to stay after and talk about it with me. They would come in the morning and say, oh my gosh, I just read this happened. I couldn't believe it. You know, so to see them get really excited about the reading, I thought was good. It was really good.
And the Habibi group was not quite as excited.
No, the Habibi group was not quite as excited about it.
And have you read that book with the students before?
No, I haven't. I read it this summer, and I read it again, you know, while I was teaching it. It's, you know, that's another thing that I think is really difficult. When I was so this is my first year teaching ninth grade. When I was teaching 11th and 12th grade, if I wanted to differentiate and do lit circles or have multiple novels going, I could still, you know, I could choose, like, the ninth grade reading level novel, which was still interesting to them. With ninth graders, if you need to differentiate, you have to dip down into, like, a middle school level book, perhaps. And, you know, you lose some of the engagement, I think, because it's just not as interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not appealing to the, you know, So it's just not as interesting.
Use a different book if you were to
do this again. Yeah, I think I probably would. It's just that's just the really hard part is finding a book that's geared towards their stage of development, but on a reading level that's a good fit for them. In fact, right now I'm in the middle of a South America unit, and we're doing magical realism, and we were originally going to do a second round of lit circles with different novels. And so I wanted to do an Isabel Allende novel and a Garcia Marquez novel, and then I couldn't think, both of those, the stuff that they've written is complex and it's difficult, and a lot of my students are ready for that, but a lot of them, it would not work. So in trying to think of another book that represents a South American author that has magical realism in it, that's not totally over their head with their reading level, we just gave up. I couldn't find that third book, that third choice. So we're actually just doing short stories. It's working out better. So I'm differentiating the short stories because it was a lot easier to find, like if we're doing Marquez, Gabriel Garcia Marquez for the next 2 weeks, I can give half the class one story and half the class another story that's just a little more straightforward, mm-hmm. Less confusing, mm-hmm. and support them in that way.
Hmm. Interesting. So that's an example of sort of how you adjusted what you're doing now on the basis of what you learned, mm-hmm. with the past unit. Other things you learned from it that have affected how you're teaching right now or you're thinking about the rest of the year?
Yes. So with the lit circles, I guess it... So what we're doing right now is we're doing a little bit more... We're doing more quote analysis because we didn't do that in the lit circles unit. We're talking more. I'm doing more direct teaching of the analysis portion of it, which I feel like is we're kind of getting into it. Getting into the nitty gritty, like more Englishy stuff.
But so when you say more direct teaching, what does that mean?
Like I'm doing mini lessons, not about discussion skills anymore. I'm like, okay, you got it. You got your discussion skills. Now I'm assuming that you can have these discussions using those skills, and now I need to teach you what magical realism is and how do you find examples of magical realism in the story that you just read, since mm-hmm. we all read different stories. And then once you find that, now I got to teach you how do we brainstorm and decide why the author is using that example of magical realism. What's the point? And then once we do that, now I have to teach you how do you take all of that, all those great ideas, and write it into a paragraph that is a quote analysis. So their final assessment in this unit will be like 4 or 5 quotes pulled from a story that that they'll read. So it'll be a new story to them, and they'll have to choose 2 or something like that and do a quote analysis. So explain why the quote is an example of magical realism, what it's adding to the story, why the author chose to do it. And this is all prep for them to be able to write like a true literary analysis paper, which we're still kind of gearing towards.
That's kind of the culminating project.
Yes.
One of the culminating projects.
And they can do a literary analysis paper or an essay with a lot of planning and a lot of with a lot of guidance. They can definitely do it. But I'd like for them to be able to do it independently by the end of the year.
Hmm. Great. And anything else that you took from kind of the last the lit circles? This next unit. I mean, how are they in different groups now?
So this is actually the first week that we've done it. So I started by everyone's reading the same story this week because I wanted to model the process and teach them about magical realism and do it once all together so they sort of know what they're looking for and stuff like that. Next week they'll be in different groups. reading different stories, and the same thing for the next week when we read the third story. They'll be reading different stories. I haven't put those groups together yet. You know, length won't be the reason I put students in a certain group, because they're all, you know, 4 pages or less. The way I'll differentiate that, or the way I'll decide who's in what group, I think it's just based on how straightforward the plot is. Because some of the stories, like, time is all sort of jumbled up, and, you know, you get these sort of, like, inner thoughts, but it's not really clear that it's inner thoughts, and so just based on sort of straightforward, can they understand the plot, that'll be how I choose groups.
But do you basically expect the levels to be the same? So those who read Habibi will be reading the ones with a simpler plot? And those
well, not really, because some of the students in the Habibi group actually are good critical thinkers and can probably figure out a lot in the story on their own. They're just really kind of methodical in their reading. So I wouldn't necessarily think that they would need to be in sort of the simpler story group, because their speed at reading, you know, won't be a factor.
Mm-hmm. So looking down the road, so you have this unit on South America and magical realism, and they're working towards their literary analysis. What's the rest of the year look like after that?
The rest of the year, so we're getting kind of close to the end. They're going to finish the global history of South America. They'll finish magical realism. The next reading unit is Othello. So it's going to be, this is the first time we've done Shakespeare. We're going to read it together as a class. And the history component of that is sort of Middle Ages and Renaissance Europe. So that's what's coming up. And like I think the final assessment for the Othello unit, they're going to we're focusing on character, looking through that critical lens, and they're going to be in groups, and I'm not sure, I don't know how we're going to choose those groups, but they're going to have to perform a scene. They're going to be responsible for sort of, you know, a character analysis of one of the major characters. They're going to have to perform together a scene where, you know, a scene that is crucial to that character, a turning point. And then after they perform the scene, they're going to have to explain to the class in sort of a, you know, organized way all of the choices they made in preparing for the scene based on how the character has developed and what the character has said and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then it's after that they'll have the final literary analysis.
The final literary analysis, yeah.
And that's basically mm-hmm. the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the final paper.
Anything else about the, so that gives us a good sense of kind of where things are going, but anything else about the books or the unit, anything else that surprised you or that kind of...
No, not off the top of my head. The projects, I think, could have been supported a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But I've talked about that.
Right. And in terms of next year, whether or not you do this unit, I mean, your first inclination would be to
drop Habibi and to find something that is a little bit more engaging. Yeah.
But you think you'll probably keep this unit overall.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.